Welcome, welcome to the Living Savior Church today. Good to have each one of you here today. Praise the Lord. Cheryl's got some testimonies that she wants to read. Just do it right there.
This is from Sally. She said, I thought I should tell you. I went last Sunday with my husband Orlando and my kids, Annette and Josiah, for prayer. The pastor and his wife prayed for us individually. The right side of my face was disfigured in 2002 by an unnecessary plastic surgery that also hurt my facial bones. Then it got worse after a tooth was pulled out in 2012. Pastor Thurman and his wife prayed for my face. I was okay if my right eye and face stayed disfigured as long as they were healed. I'm glad my right eye and face look better. Monday, thanks to God. And this year I dreamed Psalm 118. I haven't been giving thanks to God every day, and I haven't been walking in forgiveness every day. Thanks to God, I understand better how important it is to forgive and give thanks to God every day. My son, 9-year-old Josias, was prayed for to be able to speak. He had never spoken in his life. Yesterday, he said, Papa. Praise the Lord. Praise God. That's a start. Your church is lovely, and we enjoyed the service. We haven't been going to church, but we're going to start going now. Praise the Lord. Okay, this is from Faith. I had the privilege of meeting you for the first time in Baltimore last month, and I've been listening to your messages on YouTube and resources that I picked up from the meeting. I prayed for salvation for my parents, and after listening to your sermon regarding praying for the lost loved ones, I've also prayed for healing of my mom, who is gravely ill. She has myasthenia gravis, autoimmune muscle debilitating disease, dementia, diabetes, and depression. I repented of all known and unknown sins and remitted the sins of my parents, but there's been no physical manifestation yet. Thus, I'm writing for your assistance. I've heard in many of your sermons that if the person you're praying for lacks faith or has sin that's not been dealt with, you stand on your faith and remit their sins and through your faith ask for healing. My mom has been so weak for over a year that she's not been able to take care of herself independently, let alone do any house chores. She has to lay down and sleep for most of the day. I'm asking for your prayers on behalf of my parents so the Lord will not only save them, but will use them as they experience the living God's mighty power of healing, even in their own old age. Her mom's 79 and her dad's 83. They will be so excited and passionate for the Lord that they will share their testimony and become a witness for the Lord of His faithfulness, great love, and power in His love, faith. We answered, that was May the 20th. On May the 21st, we answered, we have prayed and it is done. Praise the Lord. And then on May the 28th, she says, Praise the Lord. It's been a week since you prayed for my mom, and I'm writing to share a powerful testimony. On Sunday, May the 27th, exactly 7 days after your prayer, my mom repented of her sins of not loving herself and unforgiveness. When I attended the Baltimore Healing Conference, these are the specific sins that you had identified for my mom. Since then, I've been in prayer for her, but she was not willing to repent until yesterday, exactly 7 days after your prayer. The first thing she said was how strong she was feeling and that she wanted to go shopping. Praise God. This is just the beginning. This is just the beginning of healing and restoration for my mom. I'm expecting and praying for complete healing in her life, and I thank the Lord for your ministry, and may the Lord continue to use you, to use it, your ministry, to further His kingdom. Okay.
Praise
All right.
Lord.
Last week, we got a prayer request for a horse. It was, Dear Pastor Thurman and Cheryl, please pray for my daughter and her horse. Her horse gave birth on Wednesday. She foundered today. The vet thinks it's due to an infection. The mare rejected her foal, and now my daughter has to try to bottle feed the foal. Please pray for God to heal Scarlet, the horse, and that her foal takes the bottle we're using to feed her. She will die if she does not start taking the bottle. Also, please pray for peace and calm for my daughter. She's worried about the vet bills. She's a single mom, and she trains horses to support her family. My granddaughters told me that the spirits that used to bother them before Hurricane Harvey have returned. I had prayed that the ghosts would never come back, but she told me tonight that they have returned. She's seen them in the kitchen of the house where they live. So thank you both for your prayers, Denise, because we at one point pastor had prayed the ghost out of the house. So we prayed, and it is done. Praise the Lord. So she wrote back, let's see, this was originally on the 26th, the next day, the 27th. A message, praise report. A message from my daughter just arrived. Scarlett the horse is doing much better. She's about 75% healed. She's walking better, not laying down, and not rocking back on her hoofs. Yesterday, remembering your teachings, I laid hands on Scarlett early in the morning, repented of my sins, remitted the sins of my daughter. I repeated this again a few hours later and praised God for answering my prayers and healing Scarlett. I continued to praise God all day. A couple hours later, Scarlett appeared to be doing better. I praised the Lord even more. Her fever seemed to break and she was no longer laying down. She even looked like she felt better and her color was better. I received an email from you shortly after midnight this morning letting me know that you and Cheryl prayed as well, and it was done. I told my daughter about all the prayers and praised God for healing Scarlett. I know that God will heal Scarlett 100%. I praise Him for answering our prayers. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise the Lord. God answers prayers even for a horse. Thanks be to God. Please continue to teach the Word of God. We need more preachers like you in this world. Denise.
Praise the Lord. Yes, God does answer prayer, that's for sure.
And He loves horses, too. All right, here's a praise report from Laura. I requested prayer the other day for my mother for stage 4 melanoma cancer. She received a good report on Tuesday. She received a good report on Friday that the tumors were decreasing. Thanks for praying. We are expecting them to totally disappear. Also, she needs the Lord to touch her leg as it gets stiff, heavy, and is painful. And would you pray for that? And also, I want to thank you, Pastor Thurman, for praying for me. Several years ago, I had a stinging in my right breast, and I talked to you on the phone, and you prayed for it, and it completely left in a few days. Praise the Lord. I listened to your... I listened to your monthly CDs, and I wanted to update you on the lady with the breast cancer for not bearing fruit. She lives in Cusco, Mississippi, and it was my husband that prayed for her. She's our son-in-law's grandmother, and the cancer has not returned. Thanks again.
Praise.
Baron has a praise report.
Oh, okay. Who does? Baron? Come on up here, Baron. Let's see if what we got going on here.
You talking about the guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you have any others?
Good afternoon, everyone. I had a gentleman call the 29th, and he had his ears had been ringing for years. And
that's what it's called?
Yeah.
Tendonitis.
And see, what we do here, we know if it's something that's going on in your body. It's a sin somewhere. So the guy said, I repented of sin and I kept digging. We spiritual detectives here. We're going to find the sin. And so we kept going and kept going. And the sin was he didn't love himself and he hadn't forgiven himself for things he'd done a couple of years ago. And got him to repent of that. And I guaranteed him on the word of the living God, you're going to sleep good tonight. And he wrote the next day, said, it was the best sleep he's had in years.
Amen. Amen. All right. While we're on a roll here, anybody else got a testimony that we want to? If anybody else has got one, if not. Oh, we got one over here. Okay. Come up here and tell us what your praise report is. Praise.
I got three of them. In three of them. Yes, my name is Andrew Castro. I want to thank my God, and I want to thank Pastor Cheryl and all my brothers and sisters. In 2016 and 2017, I had two friends that they didn't have no place to go, so I brought them into the house. But then they start taking this and that and all that. So after 7 months or 8 months, I had to put them out because they kept on taking stuff on me. And then I went into a way of believing to get even with them. And then instead of me getting even with them, God struck me with I lost weight. My heart started to flutter, and then my system was chaos. I couldn't eat very good. So then I decided to go see the doctor. I went to see the doctor. and they couldn't find nothing wrong with me. Then it was time to come to church, and Jeff prayed for me, and Pastor, you agreed for the prayer when you was going by. And it took another 2 or 3 months for me to get healed. Finally, I got healed, and the Lord healed me. But he did not just heal me of my heart fluttering and the loss of the weight, but he healed me also of sugar, diabetes, high blood pressure, cholesterol, and all that thing. He healed
me.
Wow,
praise the
Lord. So I'm healed of all of that. But then in 2018, I committed another sin with my son. I did some work and all that, quite a bit of work, and I wanted him to figure out how much money I was going to get. So he said, "No, well, did you already figure it out, Dad?" I said, "Yes, I already got it figured out, but I want you to figure it out." "No, we don't have to do that." So finally I got mad with him. Okay, so he went home, I went to work, and I was on the top of the ladder fixing a water heater, fixing a stack on a water heater. And I was up about 8 feet tall. And somewhere or another, I was trying to knock the stack on there real good. And suddenly, I kind of lost my balance, and I fell off 8 feet to the bottom. I hit on my right-hand side. And usually, what happens to the right-hand side, it was a male that, you know, that I committed a sin with. But anyway, I got up and raised my hand up to the sky, and I said, "Lord, you took my pain, and I thank you for taking my pain and all that." And then I rebuked the enemy, and then the pain went away, but I still had the pain for about a month. And after a month, then it starts subsiding little by little, little by little, so I got healed of that. Now, here Friday, I had another nail stuck to my hand, to my finger. I was on the top of the ladder about 3 feet high, and I was taking some boards off, and had all the boards with nails on the back of me, maybe about 5 feet to 6 feet away from me. But anyway, I kind of lost my balance, and I tried to hook the hammer on one of the planks that I was putting on, and I missed it, and I just went back and fell backwards. And when I fell back, my hand hit like that, and I stuck a nail, went through this finger, and it came out over here. So I had to turn sideways to pull my hand out and to pull it out. But again, I raised my hand up to heaven, and I said, "Lord, you took my pain. I have no pain. I give you my pain, and I rebuke the enemy, and it is already healed. I don't have no pain at all.
Hey,
I have
yeah.
no pain at all." Thank you very much.
Praise the Lord, brother. Praise God. Amen, amen, and amen. Okay, is that it? We're done with testimonies. Okay, no more testimonies. Okay. Well, I got a couple little things I want to share with you before we start here. The other day, Cheryl, I was in the office and listening to some stuff, and she called me. She says, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm learning how to be a better husband." She said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm listening to the teaching I done several years ago called Marriage Rules." I made that teaching. It's about 8 hours or 9 hours long. This week I listened to every word of it. And let me tell you, even though I done the teaching, I still need to listen to that every once in a while myself. And then, of course, that's the next thing I was fixing to say. Is that our anniversary? We got at least a couple of anniversaries this in the next few days, and one of them is mine and Cheryl's. We're going to be married 14 years on the 6th. Yeah, the 6th of June we'll be married 14 years, and then I know on the 13th of June I believe Scott and Kim here are going to be married 31 years. So praise the Lord. They need to listen to marriage rules too.
Amen.
You know, because those rules are in there, and God made those rules for all of us. And I'll tell you for sure, I mean, it's amazing. It really is amazing when you really take the marriage rules and start reading over those and see what they say. It's amazing. I do that for more than one reason. Number one, of course, I want to be a good husband. You know, I know I'm not perfect, but I'm working on it. And I want to be a perfect husband because God told me to be perfect in all that I do. And of course, He told Cheryl to be the perfect mate. He made a set of rules. And so many people today have never even heard about marriage rules. That there is a set of rules that you go by as a man or a woman. In fact, I had a lady the other day that I told her she was having trouble with her husband. And I told her, I said, well, why don't you listen to the marriage rules for a couple of weeks or two or three weeks or something. Listen to them at least all the way through, at least once or twice. And then come tell me if you see anything wrong that you could change or whatever. Because nearly always, when the women come to me and tell me they have a problem, they say, you need to pray for my husband. My husband is not doing what I'd like for him to do. My husband is the problem. And I will have to say sometimes it is the husband. He is the problem. But a lot of times it's you, you know, and so you need to listen. So anyway, this lady, she took a copy of the marriage rules and she listened to them for two or three weeks, and then she came back and she said, Pastor, I want you to know that I have been married three times. This husband I'm on now is my third one, but I now know why I couldn't stay married to any of them, because she said, I didn't go by the rules. I did what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it. And she said, several times you said in there, if you don't obey God's rules, you can't stay married. Because God made a man a certain way and He made a woman a certain way. And you need to listen to see how He made you. And then you need to obey those rules. And if you will obey those rules, it will make you a good spouse. It will change the way you do business. But God, He done a lot of things in this book. And I'm completely convinced that the problem with the church today, if you've read the Bible and you meditate on it and you're having troubles, the problem is unbelief. I mean, I am completely convinced that just a few minutes ago, a gentleman came up here and asked me for a copy of something. And he said, it's amazing how God is working on him with what Dave taught this morning or earlier today, how that we've listened to this over and over and over and over, all of us, and it still doesn't make sense. I mean, lots of people, numbers, lots of people, whenever you leave here, you're just like I was. I remember, I don't know how many times this happened in my life, but when I used to go to Lakeland Baptist Church, I was a deacon there, a Sunday school teacher, and everything else. I can only remember so many times in my life that after church was over, Betty and I was trying to save money to buy this farm. And so we didn't go out to eat except one day a week, and that was Sunday afternoon after church. We never ate out. You know, I mean, if you're trying to save money to do something, you can't eat out and save the money. Because, I mean, you know, you can spend $20, $30, $40, $50 a day eating out if you're not careful. And so you can't never save money. But we were trying our best to save money. So we went across the street to the Grandy's Fried Chicken place every Sunday after church and had dinner. And that's the only meal we had outside of being prepared at home that we had, because we were trying to save our money. And I don't know how many times somebody would come into Grandy's and they'd see me and they'd know me and they'd come over and sit down with me. They sat there and said, where you been, Thurman? I said, well, I've been to church. I go right there. I go to that big church right there. I said, and by the way, the pastor had a great message today. And they said, oh, it did? What did he talk about? I can't remember. Have any of y'all ever done that? You go to church every Sunday and you hear a good message, you hear the word preached or taught or whatever, and then 30 minutes later or an hour later or 2 hours later, somebody asks you what you heard, what you learned, and you can't remember a word they said. Have you ever done that? I've done it. I've done it a lot of times. So as I'm reading the scripture, I'm learning. In fact, I learned this a long time ago. It's in Matthew and Mark and Luke. And he tells us why this happens. You know, there's a being out here, a world. In fact, this last week, as Cheryl and I was reading these emails and things, and people, women, men, all kinds of people are writing to us for us to pray for them. It blows me away to think of the number of people that contact us that we pray for that gets a tremendous, awesome answer to prayer. You know, so I think, why did this not happen to me all my life? Why did I not pray for people? Why did not I go places? And why did I see miracles and healings whenever I was a young Southern Baptist? Well, first of all, I never heard anybody talk about there was such a thing. In fact, we had a lady, I don't remember her name, I wouldn't say it if I could, but we had a lady this last week, we were talking about casting out demons. She wrote back and said something about demons. How many are they? What kind are they? You know, what can you do with a demon? How much power? Where did you learn you had power over demons? Now, where do you think I learned that? You know, so this lady was awestruck, you know, to think that I have authority over evil spirits. Well, I want us to go to Luke. To start off with, I want us to go to Luke chapter, let's start off with chapter 8. And let's read the first few verses there. Cheryl, would you read that for me?
And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him.
Okay, read on.
And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils.
Okay, now when you stop and think about this right here, we're seeing that these women that went with him, some of these women he had delivered. These women, you know, in other words, it appears today that whenever you tell somebody, in fact, I've had this so many times, whenever I pray for people and I take authority over the spirits, whenever I remit their sin, what I'm doing is I'm taking away the Satan's legal authority to be inside of a human being. Because when you sin, the thing that we have missed, when you sin, according to Scripture, you open a door to the demonic world, and Satan has these critters, I'll call them, demons, and these things are all kinds of sizes. Now, I know it says, Paul said, we wrestle against these principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. But those things, so many people, and I've asked people, when they say, how come you cast a demon out of me? Do you believe I had a demon? In fact, I was at Andrew Womack teaching in North Fort Worth a few years ago, and there was a lady that knew me. When Andrew gave the invitation for people to come down for prayer, he said, if there's any pastors in the house, if you'd like to come pray with us and be one of our prayer ward, you're invited. So I thought, well, I'll go down there. I'm a pastor, so I'll go down and help them out a little. So they did have a lot of people. So I went down there and I ran upon this girl, and she said, oh, Pastor Thurman. She said, do you still believe there's a demon under every rock? I said, no, ma'am, I used to believe there's a demon under every rock, but now I believe there's 100 of them under every rock. She said, "You mean you still think that demons cause all of our problems?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I certainly do." I said, "God uses those critters." And she said, "Well, I have a bone spur in my heel. Are you trying to tell me that's a demon?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, you have a demon." And she said, "You know that couldn't be a demon." She said, "It couldn't be." And I said, "Well, does it hurt?" She stomped her foot. She said, "Of course it hurts." I said, "It's a demon." I said, you have a demon." And she just went crazy. She said, "Do you know that I'm a Christian woman, and you know I can't have a demon?" I reached up and put my hands on her shoulders and shook her one time. And I said, "Come out of her, you devil of hell, in the name of Jesus. First of all, I have remitted her sin." I said, "I remit your sin." I said, "Now come out of her, you devil of hell, in Jesus' name." I said, "Now then, I guarantee you're delivered, woman." She said, "That couldn't have any effect on my foot." She said, "My God, it's gone. The pain's gone." She says, there's got to be some explanation. I couldn't have a demon. I'm a Christian. I mean, you can show people how it works. You can demonstrate how it works, and they still don't believe it. Still don't believe it. So what is the problem in the church today?
Unbelief.
You know, I mean, I had a lady sitting right over here a while back at a healing school. I said, "How many of you believe that a Christian could have a demon?" And she didn't hold up her hand. And I said, "Young lady, you believe that you can have a demon?" She said, "Absolutely not. I'm a Christian." I said, "But Christians can have demons." She said, "No, sir." I said, "Well, let me ask you another question. Then do you believe that if you can't have a Christian, when you go to Matthew 18, where it says if you have disobedience and you're walking in unforgiveness or bitterness, that God the Father himself will send a demon, a tormenting spirit, to torment you?" She said, "I would never believe that. We went to the Bible and read that. And that's exactly what it said." How many of you have ever read Matthew 18, 21 through 35 and see that God himself is the one that can send a demon to you? If you get into bitterness and unforgiveness, will he send a demon to torment you? Somebody said, "God, he loves me. He would never send a demon to torment me." But he will. I mean, if it's written and he says he will do it. Now, you don't have to have one. All you got to do is obey. But so it's just amazing how this works. But anyway, as we go back to the scripture, you notice these women and these people, he had cast these spirits out of these people. And
And Joanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance.
You know, there's no telling how many people Jesus cast demons out of. But I'm going to tell you, if you've never listened to the question and the answer, you need to listen to that CD or DVD or both of them. It's called The Question and the Answer, and that's what it's all about. Is demons and how they work and how they have authority over you. And is when you sin, God showed me how this works. I mean, one day I was in my office when I was back in the engineering world, and a general manager that works with me, he came up to my office and he brought a piece of paper and he said, "Thurman, I just got this fax." And he said, "I don't know if you read it or not, but I want you to read this." I said, "Okay." So I looked at it, and it says, "If certain things happen with our company," they were thinking about selling off part of it. It said, if this certain things happen, then they're going to sell a certain part of the company. And I looked at that, and I said, "Gee, if they sell the company, I wonder what's going to happen to me." Now, does that sound like a gross sin? Did you see anything wrong with that? I'm a Christian. I really am a Christian. Who am I supposed to trust to take care of me? So was I trusting him? No. So was I sinning? Yes. Anything I do that's not of faith is sin. I mean, we don't realize how easy it is to sin. we don't realize how much we need the communion table. You know, we really sin. So anyway, the very minute that I said that, gee, I wonder if they sell the company, what's going to happen to me? In one heartbeat, I went from not having a single problem. My head was totally unstopped, just like it is right now. And in one heartbeat, I mean, a demon entered me. I mean, he came inside of me. He stopped up my head. Sinus fluid started running out of my nose. It's dripping off of my chin. And the general manager there, he looked at me and he says, "My God, what happened to you? Did a river just break loose in your head?" I said, "No, that's okay." Because do you think it would do any good to a secular man to try to explain to him what happened? I knew what happened. I knew I had just opened the door to a demon. 1 John 5:18. In fact, let's turn to 1 John 5:18, and then we'll come back here in Luke. But I want you to see what 1 John 5:18 says. Cheryl, honey, will you read that? Yeah, 1 John 5:18.
"We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not."
Okay. If I'm a son or daughter of God, and I'm obeying the Lord, I'm not sinning, I'm keeping myself from evil, this evil one, clearly it says right here in 1 John 5:18 that this beast cannot touch you. Is that what it says?
Right.
He's if Satan just had legal right to us for everything we do wrong at any time, you think he would let you live?
No.
His job is to steal, kill, and to destroy. And so that's what he's doing. He's hanging out waiting to kill you. If he gets legal right, of course, you know, we wonder who's in control. We go back to the book of Job, and we look at Job, and we see exactly how this works. Because we see a man that, when God and Satan were together, he says, "What do you think about my trusty servant Job?" He said, "Well, he ought to be trusty. You know, you've built a hedge around him. You're protecting him, and so I can't touch him." But, he wants to get a hold of him. So the Lord says, "Okay, he's in your hands. You can do anything to him you want to, but you can't touch him." So what did he do? Did he kill Job's children? How many of them?
All 10.
All 10. How many of his livestock did he destroy? How many of his crops did he destroy? How many of his servants did he destroy?
All but one.
All but one. That's in every area, all but one. He left one to go tell him the good news. If the devil had killed them all, there wouldn't have been nobody to tell him the good news. He wouldn't even have known this would happen. But, I mean, he's really a buddy, isn't he? He's the critter that gets you. And so, but the scripture, this clearly says there, "My true children," that's you and me, "my true children do not sin. They keep themselves from evil. And therefore the evil one cannot touch you." So do you and me have anything to worry about if we walk in obedience to God's word?
Not at all.
No, but if you don't, if you do what I did whenever I said, "Wow, if this happens, if this does happen, I wonder what's going to happen to me," I sinned. That was a sin. And I don't, somebody says, "Gee, that doesn't sound like a very bad sin to me." But Romans 14:23 says, anything you do that's not of faith is sin. So now you see how easy it is to sin. You don't have to go out and commit murder to be a sin. You don't have to go out and commit adultery with somebody to be in a gross sin. I mean, you can just think a wrong thought. I mean, all you got to do is just think a wrong thought and you can get a demon. Well, that day whenever I thought, and I'm thinking out loud, I mean, not even out loud, I'm thinking silently, because this man, when he sees what happens, he is blown away that everything starts running away. So anyway, he leaves my office. Naturally, I jumped to it and I said, "Okay, Lord, I repent. I know what I've done. I repent. I repent, Lord, I repent." Now see, that's what most of us don't know. We don't know we got to repent. So when I said, "Lord, I repent," of course I've repented several times, But how many times did I have to repent? One. And now all I got to do is believe it. So when I said, Lord, I repent, and I promise you I won't ever do that again. I said, now you devil of hell, you have no legal claim to me. I repented of myself. 1 John 1:9, I called the scripture. I said, it's done. You have to leave me and go away and never come back to me again in Jesus' name. And I said, Lord, thank you for giving me power over these spirits. But he did not go away. I mean, he hung on. He stayed right there. So anyway, I continued to do that. I went down to the cafeteria, have something to eat and drink later at lunch. And my nose was running like a river. It's awful. I mean, if you ever had one of those sinuses or a runny nose, you know, that runs like a river, it's awful. So, as I go down through the place, I'd blow my nose with a rag or something, and then I'd say, you devil of hell, come out of me in the name of Jesus. Well, first time people hear you say that, they'll give you plenty of room. Because they think you've lost your mind, right, Baron? I mean, it does sound crazy, doesn't it? But it works. It works. And so I'd done everything I knew to do, and for days I could not get that thing out of me. I prayed. I had people pray with me in faith and everything else, but I couldn't get that thing out. When I got home that night, my wife, Betty, she says, what in the world is wrong with you? I said, well, I sinned today, and I picked up a demon. She said, honey, you're carrying this spiritual stuff just a little too far. And I might have been. I don't know. But all I know is I couldn't get that devil out. And I tried and I worked. And, of course, you know, she was not nowhere close to where I was spiritually because she didn't spend near enough time in the Word of God. I mean, she studied the Bible, but not near like I did. So anyway, I go along there for several days and could not get this thing out of me. Finally, after about the fourth or fifth day, I started to work one morning. As I'm leaving, I go back to the scripture in Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Luke 10, 19 and 20. I want you to see this scripture. And when you go to Luke 10, 19 and 20, look at what it said.
Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven.
Okay. Now then, in the name of Jesus, how much power and authority do we have over evil spirits? So why do we let them things beat up on us? We really don't know who we are. You know, even just like myself with this trembles that the Lord's allowed this to happen or he put this on me. He's training me to be an overcomer. I know that just by what Dave taught a few minutes ago, I have known those scriptures. I believe those scriptures are mine. I know that by his stripes I was healed. I know where that's at in the Old Testament. I know where it's at in the New Testament. I know all those things, but I have not been able to kick this demon out, but that doesn't mean that I'm by his stripes. I am still healed. So I guarantee I'm the winner here because Jesus bore my sickness and removed my disease. So I may have these trembles for a while yet. I don't know how long, but it ain't going to be very much longer because I'm going to kick them devils out here. And somehow, some way, we're going to be totally, completely healed. And I can think of a time, Kenneth Copeland, he's another kind of nut like me. Or I'm like him, or whatever you want to say. But I remember one day Kenneth went down South America somewhere preaching. And of course, he's going down to preach in healing. Well, they got in the airplane to go down there, he come down with a terrible, terrible head cold. Couldn't hardly talk. I mean, he couldn't hardly talk at all. I mean, just barely could hear him talk. They said, well, you can't go. He said, oh, yeah, I'm going. I'm healed. And they talked about how he's healed. And he said, but Kenneth, you can't talk. And he just barely could speak. You couldn't hear him. Even with a microphone, you couldn't tell what he said. But he said, I'm going to preach healing. He said, that, you know, the symptoms doesn't make any difference what I've got. I'm still, that doesn't change the word of God. It's still the same. And if by his stripes I was healed, then I was and I am. And I'm going to go preach healing. So he went down there and he's preaching, and he preached a couple of hours. And I don't think anybody got anything out of it, because I could just barely hear what he was saying, barely hear what he's talking about. And then all of a sudden he stepped up there and he said, now then, I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, by his stripes I was healed, I was, I am. And he said, it's done. He hit the top of that podium, and when he did, when he come back and started talking, man, he could just whisper almost. You could hear him all over the whole building. He was complete. He when he said that time that devil of hell has got to leave me, that's exactly what happened to me with this Luke 10, 19, and 20. Way back yonder, whenever I sinned, after I repented, I said, now then, it's done. I'm healed. And I said, Satan, Luke 10, 19, 20 clearly says Jesus gave me all power and all authority over you, and you have no power over me, and you have to be subject to me, and you have to obey me in the name of Jesus. Is that what the scripture says? So I said, you must come out of me and never enter me again in Jesus' name. I will not let you do this no more in Jesus' name. And so I screamed as loud as I could and hit the dash of my pickup, and everything in my pickup vibrated and the dust shook and everything else. But let me tell you what, that devil left me and I was completely healed that day, and it taught me a tremendous lesson. I think it's Matthew 11:12. And when Matthew 11:12 tells you what sometimes what you may have to do, let's look and see. Cheryl's going to read Matthew 11:12. As a Christian, when that happened that day, whenever I commanded that spirit to leave me and it left me, this is the scripture that the Lord put on the window, up in the window, in the sky or whatever, for me to see. And this is what it said, Matthew 11:12.
And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force.
Okay, so I'm a winner. You're a winner. We're an overcomer. I don't care what that devil tries to do to us. According to the scripture, it is written, he bore your sickness and he removed your disease. Now, I know another man, he has since gone on to be with Jesus. He lived to be 87 years old. He was quite a guy. And he had a lung disease. I forget what they call it.
Tuberculosis.
And he bleeding in his lungs. And he began to learn these principles about healing. He was a Presbyterian, by the way. So the Presbyterian seminary didn't teach him these things. But anyway, he read the Word and studied the Word, and he learned who he was. And him and his wife, they both read together. She was a ball of fire herself, and they really studied the Word together and prayed together. And finally, he learned how to overcome these spirits and kick them out, and they did, and he walked in complete healing for a long, long time, because he said, as the Scripture says, behold, I give unto you power or authority. I'm going to believe the Scripture instead of the world.
Amen.
And that's what you and me got to get to where we do. I think yesterday, I was sitting out front enjoying a little of the heat. It was nice. It wasn't too bad. Yeah, it wasn't too bad. I was sitting out front out there enjoying actually the weather, and a friend of mine, a pretty good friend of mine, I've known him for 10 or 15 years, and he called me. He said, Thurman, how you doing? I said, well, I'm doing great. I said, well, how about you? He said, well, I'm recovering. I said, from what? He said, I had a rotator cuff torn, and so I had to go have it fixed. And so he said, I got it fixed. I said, well, is it hurting anymore? He said, well, yeah, it still hurts, but said it's getting better every day. But he said, they said it may be several months before it gets where I have no pain. I didn't say nothing. I said, well, so I talked to him and said, okay, I'm glad you're doing good. And he hung up the phone, and I thought, here is a guy that has known me for 15 years, at least, or 20. He knows I got a church right here. He's been out here who knows how many times. Who knows how many times he stood out there in the backyard with me and talked about equipment, and we talk about Jesus, and I tell him about miracles and everything else, and yet when his own stupid arm comes down, he's a rotor cuff repair, who does he go to? What is wrong with us? What is wrong with us? Why? We got this book, and some of us won't even try to use it. I mean, some of us won't even use the Word of God. I mean, this last week I had another good friend of mine. Cheryl and I went out with him and his wife for a little meal. And he said, you know, you gave me some CDs here a while back about angels. He said, I bet you I've listened to them over and over and over and over. He said, the thing I've noticed about you is when you start to do something, you say, it is written. Jesus said, it is written. He said, behold, I give you power. He said, you quote the scripture. Then you quote what the word says, and then you do what it says. And so he said, you're a man of authority and power. When you speak the word of God. And he said, so that when you speak the word of God, he said, that's why all these people... He said, Cheryl, he said, my wife and I love to go out to eat with you, or you know, whatever, dinner, or ice cream, or whatever, with you, because he said, I love the testimonies. He loves the testimonies. But he said, when he talked to me, he said, I never seen a man with the authority from God's word that you have. I never seen anybody that speaks with the authority that you have. Who gave you and me this authority?
Jesus.
Jesus. How much authority did he give you?
All.
Why in God's name do we not use it? Unbelief. We can read something. That's just like the other day I was sitting with a bunch of Spanish guys. We were actually working on a building. I asked the boys, I said, any of you boys here know Jesus? Maybe one or two of them did. One of them over there says, no. He said, I don't know him. He said, it'd be impossible for me to know him. I said, why? He said, if it's wrong, I've done it. I said, well, that's good. He does his best work with people that's like you. He said, what do you mean? He said, I've sinned so many ways, even God couldn't forgive me for all the things I've done. I said, well, let me make you a statement. What would you say if I told you that every sin you've ever committed, however mean and bad and wicked it was and is, that at this point, I said, you're not a Christian. No, I ain't a Christian. I know I couldn't be saved. I said, well, if you know you can't be saved, then I said, according to the Word of God, if you're not born again, he's not even holding your sins against you. He's not even, he said, what did you just say? I said, the Lord God, because of his son and what he done, he's not holding your sins against you. He said, now wait a minute, I can't be hearing that right. You mean when I did this or I did this and I did this, he named off all kinds of wicked things. You mean God's not holding those things against me? I said, well, that's what he said. So he said, that means I get to go to heaven. I said, no, you didn't read far enough. I said, right now, God, because of Jesus and the blood of Jesus, he's forgiving every one of us for everything we've ever done. All your sins are under the blood. He holds nothing against you. So let's say you die. All of a sudden, you didn't accept Jesus. So when you stand before God the Father and you didn't have Jesus to cover your sins, all of a sudden everything, every idle word, everything you've ever done, he remembers. And now then, because of that, you're going to be cast into the lake of fire. But I said, right now, without making Jesus Lord of your life, he's not holding not one single sin that you've ever committed against you. He had never heard that. That's in the Word. You know that? He is not holding your sins against you. In other words, you are just as righteous as Jesus is right now until you die. When you die, you better have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, because when you die and you stand before the King, how many things is he going to judge you for?
Every
Every one of them. Everyone that's not under the blood, right? Yeah. Now, if they're all, when you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, how many of your wicked sins does He cleanse you of by the blood of His Son? Oh. So you see how this works. Now then, He forgives everything we've ever done. He washes us clean and pure and holy because of the blood of Jesus. So just think, you could be this abortion lady. She used to be down here in Dallas. She had aborted 350 children. 350 children she had killed. That's unbelievable that you a person can kill that many children. But she did. But all that time before she accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, God was not even holding that sin against her. He's not holding that sin against you. The Scripture is clear. He does not hold that sin against you. So if you come to Jesus, somewhere along the line, you say, well, if He's not holding those sins against me, what happens if I die? Well, now all of a sudden He's holding all of them against you. When you stand on the other side, there's nothing to cover you. So you're going to have to stand judgment for everything, even every idle word that you've done. Everything. You're going to have to stand it. And so that's not going to be a fun day. So you will be cast into the lake of fire, I guarantee. But what's so amazing about God is whenever we accept Him as Lord and Savior, when we can be the wickedest person on earth, but the redemption, He redeems us from sin. So when He redeems you from sin, what does that mean? He cleanses you. He purifies you. He makes you holy. So I just stop and think for a minute. Everybody needs to know that Jesus is not holding your sins against you. That you can come to Him and ask Him for forgiveness. And how many did you say He would forgive, Baron? So that means you're clean. Do you see that? You're clean and pure and holy. Wow. You're redeemed from the curse. So when you learn how the principles work, and I don't know how many people we've led to Christ lately, but so many people, when they call us and say, my uncle or my husband or whatever is lost and he doesn't know Jesus, will you pray for him? Well, the thing about it is, if you pray and he's lost, you need to know what he's done. And you need to know who you are in Christ to be able to get somebody saved. If the Scripture is true, and we know it is, that anybody that comes to Christ is only going to come to Christ because somebody prayed for them. If you don't pray for people, they ain't never going to get saved. And if you don't rebuke the enemy and command the enemy to leave those people, he's not going to leave. You have been given all power and all authority over the evil spirits. And when you come to pray for someone, the first thing you need to do is say, Lord, I remit or forgive this man or woman's sins. I forgive their sins. Now then, I'm asking you to send the Holy Spirit to convict these people of the revelation of God, of who they are. So anyway, when you really get a hold of the fact that they're lost because the God of this world, which is Satan, has blinded their mind to the truth. Satan is very good at what he does. He's very good. But we have to stay with it. And if you don't stay with it, you know, just like in the book of Luke there, a little further up in Luke, he said that when we come to the Lord and we ask Him for something, He says, don't give up. Keep on asking. And if you give up, you're going to lose, right? Yep. Don't ever give up. Keep asking. God says there, he will answer. Everybody that calls out will get an answer. So, wow. Yeah, praise God. Wow, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Wow. When you think about the power that he's given us, we don't believe. Behold, I give unto you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall any means hurt you. Nevertheless, rejoice not in this, that those evil spirits have to be subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that your name is written in heaven? Are you a Christian? You really know that? If you really know you're a Christian, that's just like Cheryl. One day, a lady that we knew, she had a problem. And Cheryl and I went over to the hospital. I think it was over in Irving, where she was. And she was really sick. Cheryl wasn't too sure she was a Christian. So she stood there watching this woman, actually watching her die. But she wasn't dead yet. Cheryl remitted her sins. She said, Lord, I don't know if this woman is saved. I don't know, but so I'm going to remit her sins. I know she's been living in a place where she shouldn't be living. I know she's been sinning in a way she shouldn't be sinning. So if she is a Christian, Lord, I remit her sins. If she's not, I rebuke the enemy and command the enemy to leave and for her to get saved. So just a couple of days later, the lady died. Cheryl was standing there talking to the Lord and said, Lord, I'm so sorry that we couldn't get her healed. I wonder where she is. He said, she's in heaven. He said, don't you remember? She said, don't I remember what? He said, you remitted her sins. Now then, what if Cheryl hadn't been standing there and forgiven her sins? She might have went to hell. I don't know. But all I know is the Lord told Cheryl that day that the reason this woman is in heaven with me is because you remitted her sins. Is that what he said, honey?
He said, she's with me.
Yeah. See, how much power do you have?
All.
Why don't we use that power? Why don't we pray for people? I mean, with a little team of people like we got here in this little church, I think of the number of people that I see y'all pray for, those of you that really have gotten a hold of this, how you're praying for people, and you're doing great things for the kingdom of God. But that all of you should be doing it. Is that right?
Yes.
Every one of us should be praying for people. Somehow, some way, we should be praying for people, seeing people's lives change. We should be talking about Jesus and praying for those people. But if you don't, God can't answer a prayer that you don't pray. Wow. How much power do we have over the enemy?
All.
How many sins are ours are washed in the blood?
All.
So how clean are we? We're clean. We're pure. We're holy because of the blood of Jesus. Right? Okay, we're going to pass out the communion cups and the bread. Do what, honey? Oh, yeah, Saturday. Next Saturday is the healing school. 1 o'clock, praise the Lord, come to the healing school. And God heals people at the healing schools. I love to see him heal people. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. So by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. In Jesus' name, like I say, I'm rebuking the enemy myself. I'm getting tougher on him all the time. This shaking and trembling has got to go away in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, I am healed. I know that. Praise God, I know that, so I'm healed. It doesn't make any difference what the symptoms are. The Word is what makes the difference. And the Word says I'm healed. Both in the Old and New Testament. I know that, so I know He's going to do a great work. He's already doing a great work. He's going to do a greater work. Praise the Lord. Yeah, Jesus sent out His men in pairs and told them to go and cast out demons and heal the sick. And that's what He told us to do, too. That's what we're going to do. Is that what we're going to do, Baron? We're going to cast out demons and heal the sick. I read that praise report the other night when we got it. Got that man. That's why I put that on your desk. I thought, wow, that's great. He had the best night's rest he's had in a long time. When you get rid of those demons, you can have a night's rest. When you're dragging them fellas around, they don't let you sleep very well. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Father, we thank You for the bread. We thank You that by Your stripes we were healed. It's done. We're well and healed and clean in Jesus' name. Amen. And we eat the bread. And the blood, most powerful thing in the universe. Jesus, we're clean and pure because of the blood. Amen. Yeah, if you haven't listened to the marriage rules lately and you're married, it would be a good thing. Or if you're thinking about getting married, it would be a good idea to read the marriage rules, because how many of you that are in here that are married know there's rules? Yeah, they really are, and they're in God's Word. And He told you, He gave you all those instructions. And I can guarantee you beyond a shadow of doubt, if you obey those rules, do what they say, your marriage will be greatly improved. I'm talking to the husband and the wife. Both of you must do what God says. And if you do and you learn how each other work, you can have a blessed life. I mean, a blessed life. So, okay, okay, we got that done? Okay, anybody needs to be prayed for? Everybody knows our prayer teams. They're all standing up, I think, around the room. But if you need to be prayed for, we got a prayer team that'll pray for you. If you don't need anything, the CDs and DVDs are free. Take as many as you like. All these teachings are free. And so if you want to give a donation to the ministry, there's a dot box over here on the wall. If you don't need anything, you're dismissed. If you need to be prayed for, come forward and one of us will pray for you, okay?